It's not warm when she's away. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone, and she's always gone too long. Anytime she goes away, wonder this time where she's gone. Wonder if she's gonna stay. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone, and this house just ain't no home. Anytime she goes away, and I know.
Kikamura, held naked in a Florence, Colorado isolation cell. Hanif Shabazz Bey, on hunger strike, protesting inhumane conditions in the new Supermax Wallens Ridge, Virginia prison. And Sundiata Okoli, locked down and isolated since September 11th in the special housing unit at Allenwood, Pennsylvania. While Bush's war against terrorism spreads throughout the globe, political prisoners jailed for decades in America are being terrorized. If the Bureau of Prisons has its way, new regulations will allow these abuses to continue and increase. We must make our voices heard and stand up for those who have given their liberty for freedom and justice. Get involved. Stop these cruel new regulations before they become law. Contact the Jericho Movement at 212-502-1143 or visit the website at www.thejerichomovement.com. This has been a public service announcement on behalf of the Jericho Movement, a nonprofit organization.
And you're listening to the news on... you're not listening to the news.
This is the news.
I know. I just, that's my regular out intro, and I just think of it, you know, because I'm going to go to the news. And we have a top news-breaking story.
That's right.
I know. And half a dozen armed men stormed India's sprawling parliament building on Thursday. That's today, leaving at least four dead in the resulting explosion and shootout. Home Minister Lal K. Advani said four attackers have been killed. Pramod Majan, Parliamentary Affairs Minister, told Press Trust of India that other reports indicated five attackers and six police officers had been killed. Mahajan said that the attackers are armed with guns and grenades and sneaked towards the Red Sandstone complex from three different gates just before noon. Police Constable Rajpak Singh, with blood on his jacket, that he said came from a wounded civilian he had pulled from the scene, said another, quote, terrorist remained inside. As 12 commandos in flak jackets ran past towards the building, Singh warned the shooting can start again any minute. Authorities at the scene said a bomb at the complex had yet to be defused. Lawmaker R.K. Anand said he heard a loud explosion from near the outer gate of Parliament, then firing took place near the main gate. Other witnesses said six men in civilian clothes then opened fire. Parliament had been adjourned, but most lawmakers and several cabinet ministers were still inside. One of the cabinet members, Home Minister Lal Advani, told Aj Tak Television that all lawmakers are safe. There has been no damage to Parliament building. The office of Prime Minister Atal Bihari Vajpayee said that he was safe and monitoring the situation. Advani said the attack on the country's highest legislative body would spur the Indian people to fight off terrorism. Our feelings that nationalism and patriotism have been fired. This attack would cost our attackers heavily, he said. He did not identify the attackers, but said it was similar to an attack on the state assembly in Srinagar, summer capital of northern Jammu Kashmir state, where Islamic militants for 12 years have been fighting for independence or a merger with Pakistan. 40 were killed in the October 1st attack by a suicide bomber. We will not be cowed down by such attacks. It will only fire our resolve to fight terrorism, Advani said. A Star News cameraman said three Parliament security guards were injured in the initial firing, and one of them was lying on the ground. A television cameraman was also shot, and Star News said police were firing indiscriminately, including at journalists. Police carried a bleeding man up to a journalist's car and asked help in getting him to the hospital. Six injured people were taken to the government's nearby Ran Mopar Lohia Hospital. Police and paramilitary commandos sealed off the complex and halted traffic on major roads in central New Delhi as gunfire continued for more than a half hour after the first shots were heard. Hundreds of rounds were fired in the standoff broadcast on most television stations throughout India. And this is the story again. To recap, half a dozen armed men stormed India's sprawling Parliament building today, leaving at least four dead in the resulting explosion and shootout. We'll be following that story here. You're listening to WBAI in New York, and we have this message.
Concerned about the humanitarian costs of the war in Afghanistan, wishing you knew more about Afghan history and culture, then join us on Saturday for Afghanistan Today and Tomorrow, an evening to benefit the Afghan refugees at Grace Church, 254 Hicks Street near Jerolliman in Brooklyn Heights. The program starts at 5 p.m. with a slideshow on daily life in Afghanistan 2001. At 6, a panel report on conditions in the refugee camps and discussion of Afghanistan's potential reconstruction. At 8 p.m., a special concert featuring Efendi, music of the Middle East, Afghan poetry, master rubab player Qureshi, and others. That's Saturday the 15th at Grace Church in Brooklyn Heights. For more information, you can call 718-832-8815. That's 718-832-8815. This has been a public service announcement from WBAI on behalf of the Center for Economic and Social Rights, a non-for-profit organization.
And you're back on WBAI. We're going to play our tape right now. Oh, there's a couple of calls already coming in. Maybe I'll give them a shot here. 212-209-2900 before we go to Kevin Zeese. You're on the radio.
Hello.
Hello.
No,
you're not. You're on the air.
Hello.
Yeah, this is Astro Com Chelsea. How you doing?
Hey, Astro.
How
How's it going?
You know, I took a book there from the library. It's called A Candid Biography of Robert F. Kennedy. RFK is the title of the book by C. David Heyman, H-E-Y-M-A-N-N, author of A Woman Named Jackie. Now, this book took 5 years to write, and there's 5,000 taped interviews the man did before he wrote the book.
It's a lot of research.
You know, ordinarily, the book wouldn't be anything except another Kennedy book, but there's supposed to be 5,000 or 6,000 Kennedy books, a big industry. Now, one of the things I found out in this book that I didn't know was that fashion columnist Carol Bjorkman, an actress Claudette Longet, Jane Mansfield, and Lee Remick were all linked to Bobby Kennedy as lovers. Candace Bergus and King Novak was, and Mary J. Kopernik, allegedly involved with Teddy at the time of her death at Chappaquiddick in 1969, and actually been Bobby's lover. Also, there's indications in the book, there's a whole chapter on his sex life, also indications that Jackie Kennedy slept with Bobby Kennedy, too.
That's a new one.
And there's a whole chapter on Jimmy Hoffa, too. I haven't finished reading the book, but it looks like...
How do they have time to govern?
What?
How do they have time to govern and make movies?
Well, you know, I guess after you had 8 or 9 children with Ethel Kennedy, she was worn out and like an old prune, and wrinkled prune, and he needed some fresh meat on his
bottom. That's mean. That's mean, Astro. We really,
I like the Bobby Kennedy campaign. I like the guy, you know. I think he was doing good. The civil rights and so forth.
Well, did you hear when we played Loretta Lynn's song? Did you hear us play that Loretta Lynn song, The Pill, earlier tonight?
The Pill?
Yes, by Loretta Lynn.
Women use the pill, otherwise they would have got pregnant. I don't know if Marilyn Monroe got pregnant or not. She could have pregnant a couple of times.
Okay, so there's all these little Kennedys running around we don't know about.
Yeah, well, you know, funny thing is, this woman in Germany, when JFK went over there to Germany there to make that speech, Ich bin Berliner, after JFK died, they issued a magazine here in New York with all his lovers and pictures of them. And there's a German woman in that magazine who said she had a baby of JFK, and that baby may be Carolyn Kennedy's brother or sister and an heir to the Kennedy fortune. And you know, they sold the Chicago trademark for $650 or $700 million. Plus, Joe Kennedy was involved in stock swindles and bootlegging. They say the Kennedys still to this day get a share of every bottle of Scotch whiskey brought into this country, you know.
Oh, that's interesting.
And I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what they say. I used to write about the Kennedys down there before. It was actually in books there. Used to hear the old Irishmen, you know, talking about the Kennedys down here in Chelsea, you know. They knew the whole story of the Kennedys before was even in books there.
Very interesting.
Joseph Kennedy was involved with Gloria Swanson and all that stuff.
What's the name of this book?
It's called, it's a very good book. It's very well written, too. A candid biography by Robert F. Kennedy, RFK, by C. David Heyman, H-E-Y-M-A-N-N, author of A Woman Named Jackie. Let me see who publishes it. It was published in 1998, I think, and it was published by Penguin Books, Penguin Putnam Incorporated, 375 Hudson Street, New York, New York, 10014.
Great. Thank you very much, Astro.
God bless.
Appreciate it.
Good night.
All right. Another reading project there. You're on the radio.
Hello.
Yo, good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Monroe.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Listen, I appreciate, you know, the fact that the freedom of speech, you can say anything and yet not cover the full Monty of it all.
Three-card Monty?
Three-card
Monty or full Monty?
The Pacifica Monty. So you brought up about the new voting procedure.
You mean the new three-card Monty deal?
Well,
the board.
The deal.
The three-card Monty deal.
That some people are spending a lot of their energies and monies in order to endeavor to make a healthy thing out of something that became more and more less healthy.
What
now,
do you mean?
What
I thought it got more healthy over time.
What?
I thought the station got more healthy over time.
Well,
big document that's the enemy document is the Healthy Stations Project.
Well, let's get down to bare facts.
I know stuff that I can't even talk about. If you knew, it would curl your toes if you knew.
Freedom of speech.
But the things I can't talk about.
Do you have women on the morning program? You and Santiago Nieves. Are there really women involved?
I'm the news guy. I do not decide.
I know. I'm not criticizing you, except that you should be concerned that the women's movement is being... Joni Musi there. She was on
the women's movement is here
a couple of times, and I thought she would be, shall we say, an ongoing person. I thought she was, you know, as usual, a good body, a good person, you know. But she wasn't. And Carletta Joy Walker was on a couple of times, and then surprisingly hasn't returned. I don't understand this station. I find it offensive.
You've been listening to it a lot longer than I have.
From its inception.
So you don't
understand the commercial station.
So after
I heard
40 years of listening to this station,
right,
you still don't understand it.
I don't understand it. I'm protesting for change for the better, not change so that some people say it's better because it's a change. there's good change and there's not so good change. But I want to get back to the fact that you claimed that this was a government thing, and you didn't bring up.
What did I claim?
That the new voting attempted arrangement is a government
imposed
when actually you should have mentioned what the struggle is about. The struggle.
I don't know what it's about.
Huh?
I don't have any idea what it's about. You tell me.
The struggle is about the fact that the five stations of the Pacifica network were originally. Were participants in the general enclave of the national board meetings.
But didn't you see the conflict of interest
and
of that?
Let me finish, and then you can interrupt me.
I'm not interrupting, I'm responding. The conflict of interest inherent in such a thing. Do you see the conflict?
Well, I want you to explain after I explain.
Do you understand the conflict? Well, I will, but you know, I want to. We'll forget what you said originally if we don't deal with the issues as they come up.
All right, but
okay. Because then you have a habit of rambling on.
Bring it up. I'm trying to bring it up, and you're not letting me bring up the unbrought up.
Well, I'm going to let you talk.
All right.
I'm not stopping you from talking.
You know, to answer.
I just wanted to respond to what you were saying, but go ahead.
I know, but the thing is,
as you say, make the points. But you rather wait till your whole spiel is over.
Representation by the five stations became denied, and so that the Pacifica board shrank in its, shall we say, democratic.
That's the point I wanted to address.
I know, but that's what I'm saying.
That's the point I wanted to address, Monroe. You see what I'm saying? Monroe, that's the point I wanted to address. Are you going to wait for a minute and let me address it? Are you going to let me address it, Monroe, or are you just going to blah, 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 blah? Blah, 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 blah. Hello, Monroe, you still there? You there, Monroe?
The unpaid.
Ooh, Monroe.
You were then a paid worker? Were you... worker when this whole union thing came up?
Yes.
You were paid.
Yes.
So we're really in a union.
Right. I have a, you know, the paid staff have different interests from the unpaid staff.
Oh,
that's
now,
a fact.
Come now.
They have different interests. Believe me, they have different interests.
You do want...
They have different interests.
You do want... Plans. You do want... If let's say...
Wow, what's wrong with this? He's like fading. You got a cell phone? Is that a cell phone? You're going. It sounds like you're going through a tunnel. We're losing you.
I'm saying. If let's say Matthew,
you should pull over and take the cell phone off, Monroe.
I have no cell
phone. Sounds like it.
Here's the thing. If some superior in this
maybe sense, something's wrong with your phone line.
Is there something wrong with your phone line, Monroe?
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, we lost him.
Hello.
No, you didn't lose me.
Oh, okay.
There's something wrong with your phone line.
You keep fading in and out.
If you're going to play with the...
I'm not playing with anything. All right, whatever. You're on the radio. Hello?
Hello?
No, you're not. We missed you. You're on the radio.
Hello?
Yes, if you're going to...
you got a better phone.
A better line.
That's a much better line, Monroe. You're on the radio.
Hello?
Yeah, good morning.
Morning.
I'm Salahuddin.
Hi.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, I just wanted to make a comment about the history of Islamic-Jewish relations.
All right.
Let's do our best.
Yeah, well, basically, I mean, in the last 50 years, 50 or so years, obviously, due to the establishment of the State of Israel, that there's been a rift between the Muslims, particularly the Arab Muslims and the Jews throughout the world, but the history of Islam and Judaism indicates that there's been cordial relations throughout. I mean, when Europe and when most of Europe was reviling the Jews and persecuting them, the Jews, the Muslims in Spain and North Africa, Middle East, Turkey, Asia Minor gave Jews sanctuary. And it seems that, again, due to, I believe, primarily political reasons, that history has been rewritten, that people have had to, you know, become amnesiacs and just forgotten all about that thousand or so years that you know, Jews fled to Muslim lands and flourished. And you know, I for one, I pretty much resent that, and I think that that if we were to bring that, basically play that up in the media, that there would be a more accurate assessment of, Muslim-Jewish relations, and that, you know, and that perhaps the Israeli, or if I may say, the Jewish response to Muslims in the world would be more accurately assessed as being due to political reasons, based on Israel, and not really as much belief systems or philosophy. It's not really a matter of faith; it's a matter of land. And the Jews are not evil. I mean, the Muslims are not evil. Muslims, in fact, in Islam, Jews and Christians are given a called al-kitabis, people of the book, and we're enjoined by God, or what we Allah.
Are you so you're a Muslim?
Yes, I'm a Muslim.
And what do you think? I mean, I've heard these things they're saying. I've heard before, and many people probably don't know. And it's good to hear it out there in the world. What do we do about this? How do you create a situation where there's some common ground between?
Well, and where there's historical awareness, like you're saying. I mean, that's a great point. That there's so many things that people don't realize about the history.
I think that it is, and I think and I'm not anti-Semitic. I'm not an Arab. I'm not a Semite, but I don't think hopefully nobody will construe what I'm saying as being anti-Semitic if I say that that the media in this society, whether it's owned by Jews or influenced by Jews, is very much slanted towards the Jewish agenda, as it fits in with the Western, the overall Western agenda. I think that playing that up, that historical context in which, the Jews and the Muslims, have interacted, it would benefit everyone.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it seems that most of the disputes that are going on really are the result of intervention by foreign countries in the region? You have a situation where the Middle East had been under Turkish control and then devolved into British and French control. Before these countries became independent, it was basically the British and the French and the other European imperial powers that drew these border lines, many of them quite arbitrary, and then stuffed people into them and tried to turn these into countries. Afghanistan has that same problem.
Well, of course, I mean, the Jewish diaspora was created because the Romans had expelled the Jews from then Palestine.
But I'm even talking about the 20th century, the creation of Israel in the 1940s, 48. But in a sense, the lines of Palestine were drawn by the British in 1919.
Yes.
And and these other countries, Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, et cetera, were also drawn, the borders were drawn arbitrarily. They were just drawn by the foreign countries that had dominated this region of the world. In fact, even the Turks were part of it, because many of the Palestinians lived on land for generations and hundreds, if not thousands of years, the same land, and didn't even know that they were not the legal owners of that land, that absentee landlords living in Turkey were the owners, who then sold it to Europeans.
Well, it was under the Ottomans, the Ottoman Turkish.
Yeah.
That was the seat of the caliphate, basically. Uh-huh. the head of Catholics have the Pope, the Muslims believe in a caliph who's the head of the Islamic world.
Right.
And but there was no persecution per se in terms of, it wasn't as arbitrary, it wasn't as the kind of displacement that you have. There may have been absentee landlords, and it was granted a feudal system, but the people coexisted in relative harmony compared to.
And of course. So then you had the movement in the 30s, 20s and 30s, growing into the 30s. You had this movement by Zionists into the region to try, with the dream of establishing a state.
Well, we know that initially the Jews were offered Uganda, and the only reason
There's a place in Russia called it was under the Soviet Union called the Jewish Autonomous Republic.
That I wasn't aware of.
Yes, one of the regions, autonomous regions of the old Soviet Union.
But I know that the goal was land. I'm not saying that the people shouldn't have a homeland. I mean, the Jews were offered Uganda at the end of World War II, and they declined because they didn't want to be a sea of Jewish faces, and you know, among these black people. But it was an option, and
it might be like New York City. Wait a second. Wait.
Well, perhaps, but no,
I'm only joking.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's just that you know, there's a lot of propaganda, you know, being disseminated throughout the world, and it isn't accurate. It's based on a lot of lies. It's, you know, and it's led to a lot of unnecessary conflict, and we need to know what this is about. I think in the Western world, with the a lot of the policies that are being made are based on a Christian ethic, which is that, and I was a Christian, but I'm a convert to Islam.
Uh-huh.
When I was growing up as a Protestant, we were required to pray for the Jews to come back to. We believe that they are the chosen people as Christians, and a lot of Christians believe that the Jews are the chosen people, and they pray for them to come back to the fold of Christianity, acknowledge that the Messiah was Jesus, and, mm. and so the people, a lot of the people are making policy, and I believe that includes George W. You know,
since such a thing would herald the beginning of Armageddon and the apocalypse, I hope it doesn't happen anytime.
Self-fulfilling prophecy. They actually believe this, and they're basing their political their policies on this on a Christian belief, and a lot of people aren't aware of it.
That's why they called Jews for Jesus is a scary cult.
Of course.
People don't realize the ultimate reason for the rationale and the goal of bringing, allegedly to bring all the Jews into the fold of Christianity is, of course, to herald the end of the world.
Of course, yes.
A lot of people don't know that. You have to read their Bible. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's very interesting.
Thanks for calling.
Bye. And you're on the radio.
Hello.
Hello. Oh.
Hi.
Oh. Hi. It's you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Hi.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Okay. Woke up in the middle of the night, and there you were. hey, Paul, how about playing a little less music? There's more and more music on the station, and I miss you when you just are turning records around, you know.
Well, you know, come on, we're on from 3 to 6, an extra hour. 3 to 4 is our music time.
Yeah, I'm saying I've gathered that.
That's our transitional period.
That's when we're waking
I'm
up.
I'm complaining.
That's when we're waking up.
I'm complaining right. about it.
You have to understand we're waking up from between 3 and 4.
All right, so set your alarm a little earlier.
No, that's all right. I need my sleep.
is it true?
So early, it's unbelievable.
Is it true that Utrecht Lead resigned?
I believe so.
Does anybody know why?
No, she resigned quite happily and quite with honors, and she might very well be back here in WBAI. She resigned from Pacifica National, but that doesn't necessarily mean she won't be back here at BAI.
Yeah, but she didn't give a reason.
No, I think that she wants to be in New York, but I haven't talked to her.
Oh, all right.
I think she wants to be back in New York and not in Washington, working with WBAI.
Did she actually move to Washington then?
I don't know the details of her personal life.
Mm. Right, and the other thing
I don't think that's relevant anyway.
I can't believe that Marion Barry was appointed to the board. The guy is a crack user.
So what? I mean, if you listen to the show, you know that one thing we don't really judge people on is their drug use here.
Well, except that when that a crack user is not a particularly responsible person.
Listen, if we were to list all the people who are relevant to this issue who use too much cocaine, some of your greatest heroes would not be heard from.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I wouldn't it's not an area to go into. I wouldn't start throwing stones in that direction because there's definitely stones that would be thrown back.
You mean I'd be stonewalled?
Yes. Or stoned.
Yeah.
Drug use is not is more widespread than most people would think.
Yeah, but
drug abuse as well, and drug problems. So let's stay away from there. That's another area that I consider people's personal area.
Yeah, except so is lying and cheating widespread, but that doesn't make it okay.
Well, where did that happen?
I'm sorry?
Where did that happen?
Where or when?
When? I mean, you're a big fan of having the Bernard come back. Is that it? Or Valerie and all that.
No, Valerie.
Who do you want to see come back? What changes? What horrible things happen at BAI you like to see undone?
Well, let me see. I think Bob Lederer should come back. Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash. Bernard, I thought, was a little boring, frankly.
Oh, so it was good they should keep him out.
No, I didn't.
Maybe we'll make you the program director.
All right.
Somebody's got to make some decisions, and every decision that somebody makes is going to make somebody unhappy.
Is there a program director now at the station?
Is there? I don't know. No, there isn't. As far as I know, there isn't.
So Daughtry is making all the programming decisions?
What programming decisions? I don't think too many have been made. We've been too busy fighting these battles in court and what have you.
Yeah. Actually, they don't get to court.
Oh, yeah. How come every time I have a conversation with you, I think that you're like an agent of the dissidents who are questioning me to get inside information to use against us here?
No, actually.
I just get that feeling from the tone of voice that you're using.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
That you're trying to get, like, information. You're trying to be nice. And, you know, we've had these conversations before, and our conversations have wound up immediately on the Internet, and they're, like, portrayed as, ha, a dissident got me and got this information out, and we can now use it, you know.
Where on the Internet? I didn't know I was on the Internet.
Yes.
Wow.
Which
site? I'd love to see
it. The dissident side loves our conversations, and they treat them as ones in which you are a dissident agent who is prying information from me that will immediately be rushed to the lawyers to be used, you know.
Oh, I think that's idiotic.
All right. Thank you for saying that.
If that's true.
And that might be one of the reasons why I'm hesitant to be as open about my ideas and my beliefs when we talk, because I'll read about them, twisted and edited versions of which. As a matter of fact, one time, the first time we had a discussion about 6 months ago about this, the entire discussion was put on the Internet at a site called Radio for All. And
radioforall.org,
I think.
.org
or net. .net, maybe.
Ooh, I'd love to. I'm going to try to
And you have to search for it. And if you just type in WBAI, you'll see. Getting back to what I was saying. Oh, yeah, right. They cut out. At the very end of the discussion, you said, actually, even though it was a bit testy and we didn't agree, but I pretty much was very open about my feelings with you. I read on the Internet, and at the end of the conversation, you had said something very nice, actually, which I appreciated. You said that you thought I was a very good programmer, and this was a good program, despite our differences.
Yeah.
Can you believe that? They played the entire interview between you and I, and then they cut off that part where you praised the show.
Yeah.
Lynn Gary, I think her name is, G-E-R-R-Y, Lynn Gary. She was the one who taped the show and put it up and made that edit.
I had no idea.
Can you believe that? They would edit out, and then they made it, tried to create the impression that you purposely called to attack me.
No, actually,
right.
I called.
That's why, it's not your fault, really, but the way our conversations have been used by Lynn Gary.
Well, that's not in my control.
Edited and changed around by Lynn Gary in order to create a different feel than was really honestly said between us. And it's a problem because Radio for All is actually a major outlet for anarchist ideas. So the fact that they would edit pieces in order to give a false impression of them and then run those pieces even when I protest and ask them not to, I think gives you some idea of Lynn Gary's lack of credibility and lack of honesty.
I have never gone to Radio for All. This is actually the first time.
Well, I wouldn't waste my time. I mean,
yeah, well, I'm on it.
Radio for All has proven itself to be a place that, you know, lies and edits sound put on in order to defend their point of view, which, you know, I mean, I guess the First Amendment does defend that. However, I personally have come to the belief that, my creative work is worth something, and so I've billed them for anything they've run of mine.
Have you really?
I billed them $5,000, actually, for
that. Have you collected?
Of course not. They don't have it. I mean, you know.
Well, listen, wait a minute.
But they shouldn't think I haven't forgotten.
The bill is due. I figure that if you do collect, then I ought to get like 40%.
Well, we should stay in touch. We should stay in touch.
Yeah, incidentally, the reason that I call and ask you the questions is because I have great respect for your honesty and for your the word devotion is a little strong, but this hour of the morning I can't think of anything else. But you genuinely are devoted to BAI and to the concepts of free speech radio, yada yada yada. And so I figure I speak to you. I'm going to get either a straight answer or a straight, I can't talk about it. But you don't waltz around unless I'm missing the point. And that's the reason that I call and ask you these questions, because you're the only one I know of who will give answers that you believe in.
And, you know, I would love to be even more candid and tell you everything I know if it wasn't for folks out there who will take my words, edit them on a computer, and put them up in a dishonest way. I mean, I was naive enough not to think that would happen, and that people who would consider themselves anarchists and progressives would not stoop so low. But, in fact, they went right there so fast it was like a stampede of buffalo.
And what gave you the impression that people on the left were not going to attack one another
as much as people on the right attack one another? You know what's funny is Ron Kuby at ABC tells me that the left is much worse than the right, because he says all the left-wing people sit there, and I think this is true, with lists of phone numbers of people to complain to when they hear something they don't like on the radio or on television, and they just en masse attack people for saying things they disagree with in a very, what they consider a democratic means. But, you know, most conservative people really just like accept it. They don't go and try and have somebody taken off the air.
Well, you know what I think the reason for that is, not because it's not just in reference to BAI that the left attacks itself, attacks one another. I think it's because there's such a philosophy of individualism, individual rights, free speech rights, that the left, it finds it easier to attack others on the left because they understand him better.
Right.
And that's
why I think they were really mad at me, because they were afraid. You have to understand, the attacks against me started way before I even knew what was going on or took a position one way or the other on things. You have to understand, to me, it was not so simple a decision, because I've been a paid worker here. And you have to understand that the paid staff workers
You wouldn't use that expression. It reminds me, that's what they're calling prostitutes now.
Paid workers?
Yes.
Well, whatever. I am a paid worker.
Salaried employee or something.
I am a salaried employee of the Pacifica Network and of WBAI for many years.
Because you're not a prostitute.
I know. They deserve pay, too, the prostitutes.
They work hard for their money, too.
I work hard for the money here at WBAI. And was a paid staff member here. And there was a small staff of paid people. And you have to understand, we've been left out of the deal. There's three factions now on the board. 5 votes for the Pacifica Foundation.
Oh, has that gone through?
Yeah, it went through tonight. Last night. 5 votes for the Pacifica Foundation, 5 votes for the dissidents, and 5 votes for the LAB.
Yeah.
And there has to be a 2/3 majority in order to pass a governance or hiring issue. And if there's a simple majority on other issues, that has to go to the judge. Unless there's 1 vote from each of the 3 factions,
which is called
a balanced majority. Yeah. Now, the problem is there's a 4th group that's not included in any of this, and that's the union that represents the Pacifica workers, the American Federation of Television and Radio Artists. Mm-hmm. And there's also the Communication Workers of America out at Berkeley. But most of the workers here are in AFTRA, in BAI and Pacifica Network News and KPFK and Amy Goodman as well, as are all in AFTRA. And we are not represented in any of these deals. And you have to understand that there was great, great injustice that was done by the previous administration. I'll lay it right out. There was great injustice done to the people who work here for a living.
Under
Valerie Van Issel. Great injustice.
She was an incompetent.
No. That's her off the hook.
Okay.
There was great injustice. Trust me, there was great injustice. And I can't talk about it. Joni knows what I'm talking about. I cannot give you the details.
Okay.
I cannot. I'm not allowed to give you the details. But I will tell you that it's not over. That Valerie should worry less about coming to work and worry more about the subpoenas and depositions she's going to receive for the way she purposely treated the paid staff here.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
All right. So, I mean, if I were her, I wouldn't be quick to want to come back to this job, because she's going to get a headache and a half handed to her on a piece of paper the minute she walks in the door.
Tell me
for those past actions. So they were calculated actions by Valerie Van Isler that were not done out of incompetence, but done out of great competence in order to keep down the paid staff here. And she did it because she was a toady of Pacifica, and she did it because she had a quid pro quo with the unpaid staff. I have, as a paid staff member, the you know, any unity that existed between paid and unpaid staff at this station has been destroyed. I do not share the same interests as many in the unpaid staff. I am friends with many in the unpaid staff, but as a group, I do not share a lot of the same interests with them because the unpaid staff have gone out of their way to screw me and my fellow workers here since day one in order to keep their stupid shows on the air.
So the lack of harmony between you
has to do with
lack of shared interest has nothing to do with the fact that some of you are paid and others of you are not paid.
It has a lot to do with it. It has to do with the fact that some have shows. Many of those shows, there's no standard to judge if the shows are any good. There's no way of knowing if these shows are any good or bring in any, except by how much money they bring in.
And that has been destroyed.
No, a lot of these shows haven't brought in a penny for years.
No, but what I mean...
And they want to stay on the air. They don't want to be removed from the air by a management that's going to come in and say, our workers want a pay raise that they haven't gotten since 1992. Our workers want health care benefits. Our workers want decent, and you know, even unpaid staff who are reasonable want equipment that works. They want tape recorders that don't break down. They want cart machines that work. You know, they want to have a normal operating radio station, and the people who work here want to have normal lives in which they can exist, raise families, and be normal people.
If you want that, you move to Dubuque, Iowa.
Well, I tell you, that's the attitude the unpaid staff has had towards the paid staff, because there's only one way that they'll ever raise the money to give people that normal life and to make the equipment here work, and that's to have a basic, you know, measure of how good the shows are based on how much they bring in. That's where our differences lie, because many of the shows, including the ones you pointed to earlier as people you'd like to see come back, are shows with no measurable audience that never made a penny for the station.
What?
And they want to be kept on the air because they believe they're so politically important. But the problem is other people can do those shows and those type of shows and make money. These people can't.
Well, what puzzles me, though, is years ago, fundraising marathon time, each show raised money on its own time, and there was a way of measuring what kind of support they were getting.
Right.
But this business now of day-long shows that are unconnected with particular time slots makes it, I would think, makes it impossible to judge who's well-liked and who's not. And that would be reflected in the fundraising.
We have a system here where people have, where each hour and each show gets a number, and all the money raised during that show is associated with that number in a computer database, and somebody can print it out and see, they can print a graph if they want, and they can see how well each show did, and they can compare each show and each time slot over periods of time from marathon to marathon. So, I mean, people know, you know, on that basis, people know how well some of these shows do and how poorly some of them do.
Well,
and let me tell you that some of the loudest, most obnoxious, quote, dissident, unquote, folks here who are responsible for now the government, a judge being the final arbiter of what goes on the air at WBAI and the Pacifica Network.
Wait, what do you mean?
Well, I just told you, any decision that's not made by two-thirds, it's just a simple majority, if it does not have one person voting from each of the three legal groups, the LABs, the dissidents, and the Pacifica Foundation, goes to the judge in California to be decided.
That went right past me.
Yes.
Total state supervision.
There's total. Because of the dissidents, through their lawsuit, Carol Spooner, Bob Lederer, all these people who self-proclaim themselves as radicals, are personally responsible and will be personally held responsible for having the government come into the affairs of WBAI and Pacifica Radio. And I believe that all listeners should be up in arms, and I tell you, they should get in touch with Bob Lederer on his phone. They should get in touch with Mimi Rosenberg. They should get in touch with Amy Goodman, who hides her email and doesn't make it public, who hides her phone number and doesn't make it public.
Well, she's on cable, though, daily.
But she hides her phone, or nobody can call Amy Goodman at home. Her phone number is not in the phone book. You know what? Ron Kuby?
Yeah.
His phone, he's got a show that 100 times more people listen to than Amy Goodman, and his phone number is in the phone book.
Well, that's because if you don't want a lawyer, you know.
Right. Well, no, Amy doesn't put her phone number in the phone book.
Well, because...
You know, because she is an elitist. She's an elitist snob.
Yeah, but on the other hand, Ron...
That's it. I know Amy Goodman well, better than you do, and I tell you...
I don't know her at all.
She's an elitist snob.
No, what I'm saying is Ron Kuby.
That's why her phone number is in the book, and she goes around chortling that right wingers are going to harass her at home. She's afraid that the listeners are going to harass her at home for causing a situation where the government is now running Pacifica.
She was part of the suit.
Juan Gonzalez are the people behind this lawsuit, along with Carol Spooner.
Yeah, but she didn't cause it, though.
The Pacifica Foundation. We would have won the lawsuit. Pacifica would have won. It was a crappy lawsuit. It had no basis, in fact. And it's one of the many types of these lawsuits that are put up all the time against institutions like Pacifica, and they're always shot down. They're always fail, these lawsuits.
And they would have failed,
but the problem is they cost hundreds of thousands of dollars to an institution to fight. And so with Amy and Juan Gonzalez supporting the boycott of Pacifica, they were causing a situation where they were going to try and spend us blind so we couldn't fight the court case. They wanted to force a settlement through it was like hand in glove. Carol Spooner makes the lawsuit, and Amy and Juan try and bleed the network in order to prevent it from fighting that lawsuit and having to settle a lawsuit they knew they didn't have a chance in hell of winning.
Well, that apparently they're pretty successful. Apparently, the gossip is that Pacifica owes a tremendous amount of money.
Man, you don't know how much Pacifica owes to its workers. Because of Valerie Van Isler, Pacifica owes to the workers at WBAI in back pay.
Really?
Thousands of dollars each. Every person who's ever worked here is owed thousands of dollars. Thousands and thousands of dollars.
And the Pacifica National Board did not step in on that?
No. I mean, Valerie's in charge. She was, the way this place is run, each general manager is totally in charge of their shop. That's the way it's run here.
Oh, that's a crummy... There should be... I would think there should be some oversight.
Oh, no. Just talk to R. Paul Martin. You can actually get in touch with R. Paul Martin, rpm@glib.com. glib@glib.com.
RPM@glib. Where is he on the air?
He's got a show on Sunday nights. rpm@glib.com. He was the former union steward. I'm now the current union steward, but he was the former union steward. And he will tell you all about trying to negotiate the issues in the contract with Valerie Van Isler and how impossible that was. Well, guess what? It's not over. Just because she didn't want to negotiate it doesn't mean that they can't be billed for what happened then.
You mean it ain't over until the skinny lady sings?
It ain't over until the bill is paid. There's a contract. If a contract says you have to pay people certain increases, if it says you have to give people health insurance, if it says that you have to provide seniority increases, and you don't do those things, and you don't do it for years, it adds up to a horrendously large amount of money.
Is there any way that
it's owed the workers of the station? And guess what? Bob Lederer, Amy Goodman, and the rest of these folks, when they come back, are going to be put to work. They're going to be put to work raising money to pay all the back pay owed to all the workers here. Believe me, they will be doing marathons till marathons are coming out of their ears if they come back on the air here. They are not going to get a free ride.
Well, one was...
No. Bob Lederer's pain is going to begin the day he starts his show again here.
Incidentally, talking about that, at one point they were covering
they're going to wish they never came back to the station.
He and Nick Cimarelli were covering the AIDS situation, and Nick Cimarelli doesn't seem to be doing that anymore. And there is a wonderful show on, you should excuse the expression, WOR, on Sunday nights from 11 to midnight that really covers AIDS, not on an advocacy basis, but on a straight informational basis. And it might be something that if you and Ms. Moosey would only want to listen to and maybe bring some of that information to the air, it might be useful, because it's a really useful. I don't have AIDS, but which has nothing to do with the fact that I still find it really educational and useful. And it's anyway, I'm not a paid agent of WOR either.
That's all right. You'd be doing well if you were, and
not
I would congratulate you, because it ain't easy to get a job for WOR.
Well, it is. Did you hear at one point they were calling it WOR, Women on Radio?
Well, that would be great. I mean, I give them credit for that.
Yeah, because a lot of the broadcast.
But you see, in a way, you're describing the problem that BAI and Pacifica faces. They're really, and you know, I've had a long talk with our news director Jose Santiago about this, because the fact of the matter is, this ain't the '60s. That there's a lot of progressive things that are happening in commercial radio.
Yes,
there are. It's not like the '60s were. It's not. In a lot of ways, when we say that BAI is the only place you hear this news when we're doing marathons, it's not really true anymore. There are a lot of places, and even in the commercial world, that play and give very progressive information because they know there's an audience for it, and advertisers are willing to buy advertising.
Yeah, well, WEVD has gone into sports clothes now.
Well, that's true, but part of it is that you can have women on WOR, you can have Ron Kuby on WABC, you can have, all the things. NPR has got a news department that Pacifica can never match. It has, you know, reporters in Afghanistan and all these places. I mean, we have to think, what is the purpose of this radio network in the modern world when there's really not a need so much? We're not doing anything on this station. I don't care. Bob Letter or Amy Goodman are not doing anything that you can't get somewhere. And the fact of the matter is, you can get all their stuff in other places, and that's why Amy's show is really only, you know, syndicated on a couple of dozen stations out of thousands of stations. I mean, there really weren't. It really isn't that unique, the information that she provided. And we have to think of what the future of this network is going to be in this new world, where, you know, the capitalist press and the commercial press has basically absorbed the whole alternative community and does a better service to them than we could ever do.
Do you have any vision of what how BAI and or Pacifica should present programs?
Well, obviously the fight is between, I think all we can do is provide the people who we have. I mean, obviously Bob Letter and Amy and these folks feel that this should be the outlet network for the left-wing communist and anarchist people.
I'm asking, do you have a vision?
My vision is this, that this station should be the people who are on it. It should be a station where you tune in to hear Joni and Paul, where you tune in to hear Santiago, where you tune in to hear the people who you hear on this show, that you hear the take that you get from the people who are on the air.
So that you're talking about personality radio then, rather than political radio?
Well, it is political. It is information and it is political. What I'm saying is that the information and the politics are available in so many places.
Mm-hmm.
That have much better, bigger reach than we'll ever have. Then, you know, it's obviously we have to really think what the future holds. I mean, I don't have an easy answer. I mean, open up in the old days of New York Newsday, or even open up the Metro section of the New York Times, and you will find stories. They have a city section of the New York Times that does better work than any underground paper ever did at covering everything that happens in the community board level in New York City.
Yes.
They have reporters, people who years ago would have been writing for the East Village Eye and papers like that, are now writing for the New York Times and getting their stories, the same stories that you couldn't get anywhere that you are now in the New York Times.
And incidentally,
what are we going to do on circumstances like that? It's not, you know, we're not that unique anymore. We're not that needed in the same way anymore.
So that it should be based then on personalities, you think?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think that you have to, you know, like the people who you hear on the air. I mean, that I think that, you know, there's a response to, you know, when people like who they hear, they respond to them. I mean, you know, we raised $1 million during our last fall drive, which is the first time a fall drive ever broke a million. So technically, it's the best drive ever in the history of WBAI. And, you know, people gave money to Marjorie Moore, who you're going to be hearing at 6 a.m. People gave money to myself and to Joni. They, you know, people gave money to Utrecht Lead. You know, they gave money to all these people who people, you know, on the dissident side hate so much. They did well. They brought in 10. We're going to have a grab bag here in which we raised with our grab bag. I just like in the back of my mind, I heard something like $25,000.
That was for the old programs that were being is
you
that,
know, we raised $25,000 on what I'm told, a premium system from the old days that was so badly run that we literally would buy hundreds and cases upon cases of books that were never sold or used and just collected dust in storage for years at a time. Through our grab bag, we're able to distribute those now and to make some money for the station.
Yeah, that was a clever idea, actually.
Yeah, you know, but it's, you know.
The party will be a lot of fun.
Yeah, the party.
I look forward to meeting everybody that bought that premium.
We'll be there on Sunday. There's a Friday party and a Sunday party. We'll be at the Sunday between 2 to 6.
Incidentally, talking about alternative views and so on, have you ever seen a copy of, there's a paper called The Forward, which is a left-leaning paper. And it has some, I've been reading it lately. I've been picking it up lately. And it's an interesting paper. You might take a look at it and see if you've got space for it.
All right. Thank you very much. We're going to move on because we have a bunch of calls and we're going to